Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
He says, son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes.
Never needed proof that I don't always pick the artist of the day. This is your day. This is terrible.
This is the greatest song.
Oh my God.
Of history.
I'm about to start drinking again.
Well, that's aggressive.
My word.
Really quick, because this just popped up on my Facebook feed, and it has to do with alcohol, but not really.
Okay.
Firefighters are warning everyone, do not leave hand sanitizer in your car on a warm day. They have included a photo of what looks like an exploded car door from the scene of Aliens.
Now wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Are they talking about, like, the regular hand sanitizer?
Yes.
Or I've seen on the news this, I guess liquor stores are now selling this, like, Everclear kind of hand sanitizer that you can pour on your hands. It's like super concentrated alcohol.
Yeah, don't keep that in your car during hot weather.
But wait, back to my point. Are we talking about, like, the super potent, you know, almost 200 proof Everclear? Or are we talking about the 60 proof Purell?
This was a regular bottle of hand sanitizer.
Oh, okay.
And it was super hot out. And my guess is the sun came in and it acts like a magnifying glass.
Mm.
And then the damn thing exploded.
Okay. New study out. And if you guys want to weigh in, maybe we'll take this for a segment or not. I don't care. It's up to you guys. But I saw a study on Good Morning America this morning that found that alcohol consumption since the pandemic started is up 35%. That's not surprising. What was surprising to me was that 32% of Americans who say, yep, I've been sent home to work from home, 32% of Americans who've been sent home to work say they start tapping the sauce during work hours. And we've gotten several texts. I'm not going to give your digits out, so don't worry. Somebody says, yep, I pop a beer most days around 3 or 3:30. Somebody else says, I kicked off my first one at 1:45 this afternoon. A lot of people are talking about these Zoom happy hours that they're having with their office. There are several of those. And Scott, you have a kiss cave. You get no vote on Billy Joel. Okay.
That was the most truthful text of all of those.
I think people are bored, Scott. I think alcohol provides a very brief, happy letdown in moderation for some. And yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Here's one, Dana. Scott, I made my first cocktail today at 1:45 at lunchtime. It's a thing. And Dana's been drinking since 3.
No, I have not. I can't drink that early because it makes me tired.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. Sam, if we have anybody, let's go to him. If not, we'll just move on to something else. I don't care.
Go ahead and move on.
Okay. Doesn't mean anything to me.
No one doesn't want to call in and use a fake name and tell them that they're getting schnockered at work.
Right. With that fake voice? With their fake voice?
Well, it is 5:10, so if they were getting schnockered at work, they're probably not going to be able to formulate words at this point.
The people we're really talking to are already passed out.
Fact.
Honey, wake up. They want you to call in.
This kind of ties into that, Scott, and this was in the Wall Street Journal. Did you hear the new secret to success is not lower expectations, it's no expectations?
What are you talking about?
That is an article in the Wall Street Journal today that the secret to mental health success right now is to just destroy any expectation you have of a normal, happy, productive life during this time.
I don't know what to comment on that story or the fact that somehow, some way, maybe it's a gift from God. You're buying the Wall Street Journal. What have I done to you?
It was given to me this morning.
No, it wasn't.
It was given to me this morning.
No, don't lie to me.
Yes, it was. Like, you know how some places have USA Todays? This place had Wall Street Journals, and I took one.
You're a liar.
Well, that is quite fancy.
I'm sorry, it did. And I took it. I thought, all right, I'll look at it.
And? Have you read the editorial page?
The secret to success is no expectations.
I think the fact that Dana Wright is reading the Wall Street Journal, the most conservative newspaper in America...
I'm not reading it. I picked it up on the way out the door because it was free. It was just sitting there with like 12 others in a neat little line.
Right. She's got to start a fire later.
In Arizona, you need to start a fire, Sam?
No, that is not funny. My therapist always says the definition of stress is the width between expectation and reality.
That interesting line.
You know, right now this applies to all of us if you think about it. You will experience more stress as it gets wider between your expectations in life and the reality of your life. And so she says that to me all the time. You need to lower your expectations. And in the Wall Street Journal, they said you need to take it to zero. Just stop having expectations.
Well, and I've had friends tell me if you lower your expectations to zero, you'll never be disappointed.
Correct. And I don't think it's a good thing to do for the rest of your life. They're saying during the pandemic, just chuck your expectations of what your life is supposed to look like out the door.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I got on an airplane, remember?
You got on an airplane because you were stressed out.
I know. It's because the chasm between my expectations and my reality were so far apart that I had to get the hell out of town.
Okay, but now that you are out of town and you're in Arizona, has the chasm between your expectations and your reality shrunk or not?
I think so, sure.
What are you doing all day other than doing this show? And by the way, I applaud you. You're still doing the show even when you're on a, quote, work vacation. What are you doing all day?
I play gin rummy, and I sit by the pool.
You golfing, or are you doing...
Every day.
Every day? You golf every day, okay.
I got up at 5:30 this morning and golfed.
You golfed at 5:30 in the morning?
I got up at 5:30 in the morning. I had to be there at 6.
Is your handicap getting better?
Yes.
No, it's not.
No.
See, if you're going to be on this show, you've got to tell the truth. So your tee time was at 6 in the morning?
It was at 6:30, but I have to be there 30 minutes early because I wanted to get a Diet Coke and hit some balls and all that stuff. Yes, I played with a lovely man from California.
Did you ride in the same cart?
No, they don't allow that.
Okay. Where's your where's that naked friend of yours that...
She is out by the pool, and we have been playing gin rummy for hours. Scott, for hours I could sit there and play rummy.
I don't even know how to play.
I'm going to teach you. It'll change your life.
Yeah. Now, one time during this week, have you had a drink during the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Toward the last, like, 15 minutes maybe, or 20 minutes.
Do you think your alcohol consumption is higher now than it was prior to March? Be honest.
It might be slightly higher. It's not substantially higher. Because I'm more of a social drinker, Scott. I don't like drinking home alone. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I would drink when I go out to restaurants. Well, we haven't been able to do that until this last couple of weeks. We went out to eat last night. We found another patio.
And did you feel safe?
Yes.
Okay. Telephone number here is 576-7798. If you're willing, and if you're not, then we'll just move on to something else. I don't care.
No one is going to admit that.
Well, maybe they could admit that their alcohol consumption is higher. You don't have to admit that, yeah, I'm working from home, and, yeah, my name is Bill, and I work for Cerner, and I'm drinking during the day.
And I'm drunk right now.
I'm hammered right now, and hang on, I got to get on the phone with the CEO. I mean, I get it if you don't want to admit that, okay? But is your alcohol consumption higher since this whole thing started? And if you're brave enough, and maybe you work for yourself, and you're willing to say, yeah, I started drinking at work. I'm not advocating it. God knows everybody on this show knows my history. I'm not advocating it. But are you willing to admit it? 576-7798.
Everybody's always waiting on Friday, watching that clock and sitting on go. What you say we find a little warm sunshine and open umbrella on the patio? Don't need a reason or a happy hour, ain't hanging around for a fireworks show.
All right. Telephone number here is 576-7798. I saw a study this morning on Good Morning America that alcohol consumption is up 35% since the pandemic started. And 32% of Americans who are working from home were willing to admit, obviously anonymously, yeah, I may tap the sauce a little bit before the end of the day while I'm still on the clock. So what? Mind your own business. Now, we will not use voice changers. So if you're not comfortable, don't call in. That's fine. You can always write in at 22980. But I find it fascinating that 32%, a third of Americans who are stuck working from home, say, yeah, might be hitting it a little bit before 5, so what? What are you going to do? Stop me. We can't. Sam, if you'll send us to the phones, please, my friend.
Let's go to Austin and Marshall. Austin.
Hi.
How's it going, guys? How y'all doing?
We're doing well, buddy. Thank you, man.
Good. Now, man, I'm a construction worker, so I can't really drink before I get off the clock. But I got 2 cents to weigh in on your expectations comment you all were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Hell, I've always lived by the rule, expect the worst, hope the best. My wife thinks that that's a pessimist look, but it's more of a realist look if you think about it. So,
yeah.
I feel like if you never set your bar so high that it's almost out of reach in times of depression, then you're less likely to be in that state of mind.
All right, boss. Hey, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it.
I have a question, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
Do your company rules apply when you are home? Because that's what this question really comes down to. Can you have a beer in your own home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, it's my house. It's my damn beer. And you won't let me come back to work.
Do I have to wear a suit in my own house, even though the company required me to wear a suit when I was at the...
Well, come on. Why does that matter?
Well, it doesn't. Now, you could make the argument that you can still function at your normal expected level, whether you're wearing no pants or pants. And at the moment, I'm not wearing pants. And there's a difference between that and, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're expecting some sort of a report from you at 5 o'clock, and you're 4 beers deep.
But I'm asking, Scott, if you are still getting the job done, does any company apply to you when you are in the privacy of your own home, as most of us are? Now, obviously, you can't, like, embezzle money from your company. That's breaking a law.
Well, that would be breaking the
law. But I just mean any rule. Like, let's say you have to wear a suit and tie to work. They can't tell you right now to wear a suit and tie from home.
That was the example I just gave.
But I'm telling you, there's no way they can mandate that when you are in your own living room.
And I would argue that most companies would not. If you do, you work for a total jerk company. But I do think that a company could say, hey, we would prefer that you try to stay mildly sober during the day when you're doing work for us. I don't think that's too much to ask.
But can they mandate it is what I'm asking. And I would love our HR people to weigh in on that, because I find it hard to believe you can mandate I do anything in my own house.
You're telling me that a company could not require an employee who is forced to work from home to, at least while on the clock, stay sober.
Okay, let's not make it about alcohol. Let's make it about cigarettes. You are not allowed to smoke at work. You could not smoke on the third floor at Intercom. You would be, like, at least escorted out. And they'd be like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Smoke outside.
So we have a no smoking policy at work. There is no way Intercom can say to me, if I wanted to tap open a pack of cigarettes and start smoking away, that I couldn't smoke in the privacy of my own home.
You just say tap open a pack of smokes?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the lingo is. I don't smoke.
Hey, bro, you going to smoke those? You going to tap it?
You going to tap that?
I want to know, do company rules apply when you aren't at the company?
Hey, bro, I'm jonesing for a smoke. You going to tap that pack?
All right, really?
Bro, let me tap it.
You know what I mean.
No, we don't. You are so nerdy when it comes to bad behavior. Hey, you want to tap that pack? I'm jonesing for
it. I think within reason, your company can tell you you have to get a certain amount of work done.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. What were the two words you just said?
I don't think they can tell you about personal behavior when you are at home.
Within reason.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think wearing pants is reasonable right now.
I don't either. That's why I'm not wearing them. It's liberating.
Well, Scott, you also show up to the office like that?
No, that's without underwear. But I wear pants. Just don't wear underpants.
Yeah, that's fine.
576-7798. 576-7798. News is next here on KMBZ.
Get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on and on.
No. Good to be with you guys. We'll get to your calls here in just a second. Guess we got a full board, so hang tight, all you drunks. Dana has breaking news out of Georgia. Dana, go ahead.
Yeah, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation has arrested the man who recorded the cell phone video of Ahmaud Arbery being shot and killed. William Roddy Bryan shot the video that showed what appears to be Gregory and Travis McMichael shooting and killing jogger Ahmaud Arbery. In a news release, the GBI said it has charged Brian, the man who recorded that video, with felony murder and criminal contempt to commit false imprisonment. Think about this, Scott. How is it possible that someone just happened to be right there, happened to have a cell phone, happened to record that whole thing, and then once those shots are fired, he just kept recording? This is from the family. You don't hear him gasp. He didn't cut off the camera. He didn't intervene. He didn't honk his horn. And we believe that is because he knew what was about to happen and played a role
in it.
Yes.
So they're saying he was complicit?
He has been charged with felony murder.
Okay, if the allegation is to be followed and to be believed, and we'll get to the calls here in just a moment on a completely different topic, but let me just flesh this out a little bit. If the allegations are to be believed, there would have to have been a conspiracy to get this kid, young man, sorry, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to denigrate, a conspiracy to catch this young man in the neighborhood. The two adults would have to know what they were planning to do or may do. And this guy, this Roddy character, would have to have been, and I use in air quotes, employed.
In on it.
To film the entire thing. And for what purpose?
But you never thought it was odd, Scott? Because not maybe that he knew they were going to murder him, but maybe he knew that they were going to confront him. You never thought it was that whole thing before it happens, during it happening, and after it happened was caught tape? He did not hand that video over to authorities, Scott.
Well,
video was leaked. It was leaked.
Yeah, I did find that to be a little bit bizarre. But in today's day and age where everybody has a phone in their car and people film everything... I did not find it bizarre.
The confrontation. Why would you film just a truck driving down the street and a jogger?
Great point, Dana. Great point. I don't know. Well, if they're guilty, I hope they burn in hell. I really do. Let's go to the phone, Sam. We were talking about drinking in this age of coronavirus. And a new study out this morning that alcohol consumption is up 35%. Those of you who are working from home, 32% of you are drinking at home during work hours. If you're willing to admit it on the air, God bless you. Let's go to the phone, Sam, if we could. I understand we have a full board. Go ahead.
John in Overland Park.
John, good afternoon. Hello, John.
Scott, Dana, what is?
What is, brother?
love your show.
Thanks, man.
Yep. You know, with this whole coronavirus thing and having to stay at home, it's one thing to work from home. It's another to also have to have two young kids in elementary school at home with you. When you have work Zoom meetings for school, yeah, I may crack a seltzer at 10:30 in the morning. I may have some Clue in my coffee at 7:30 in the morning.
7:30?
I do it with an 8 and a 10-year-old.
Hey, bro, listen, I'm an alcoholic who's trying to get straight. 7:30 is pretty early.
Yeah, it's an Irish coffee. But no, I hear what you're saying. And you bring up a good point, a valid point. It's not that I am drinking to excess throughout the day and it's a daily occurrence. It's an occasional thing to kind of break the stress of the day. There's nowhere else to go. There's no parks open. There's no big activities you can do with kids. So you're cooped up in a house. The house is getting real small. An occasional beer during the middle of the day. I don't have a problem with working.
If you don't have a drinking problem, I don't either. Now, tapping off your coffee at 7:30 in the morning, I'm starting to wonder. And I'm just being honest, brother.
It's not ideal. Every day, probably not a good idea.
Right. Exactly, Dan. And it's not an everyday occurrence either. In fact, I would say drank less during the quarantine than before.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Why?
You're home all the time, so I'll have a midday drink. Not a cocktail, but just a beer. And then the rest of the day, I probably won't, because I'm done working out. I now want to go outside with the kids, ride bikes, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to say that they drink less because there's no restaurant to go to. Like, the whole time that you're stuck at home, I Scott, I'm a social drinker. Yeah. That's all been taken away. There is no social. So
you don't like to drink alone.
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah. It's not about changing yourself chemically to avoid your situation. No, it's just an occasional stress relief during the middle of the day.
Well, I'll tell you what, boss. Listen, you start tapping that thing every night, you give me a call, okay?
Will do. Appreciate you.
All right, be well, man. Sam, to the next one, if we could, please.
Selena in Kansas City.
Selena, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing well, thanks.
Happy Thursday.
Same to you.
Thank you. I feel that my husband and I think that we drink a little bit more than we normally did before the COVID and the pandemic. Because we've been working through this whole time through the COVID, so we really didn't get, like, furloughed or, you know, anything. So we were just a little bit stressed because, you know, we're working 5 days a week from either – he goes in either sometimes, like, at 7 to 6, you know, depending on his day, and then I get off that, like, from 9 to 5. So we're definitely been drinking a little bit more. We're pretty exhausted, and then we have two – teenage kids, so it's a lot to deal with, I think, for everybody.
Have the kids Amen. Noticed?
Oh yeah. I mean, my kids, you know, they're very smart, well behaved kids, but my daughter might slip in and later be like, "Why are you drinking that?" And I'm like, "Because I need to relax." And she's like, "Okay." But I mean, you know, they see it, but we just drink just a few beers, and then we'll just, like, try to do something family together, watch TV or a show or watch some YouTube videos or, you know, go outside, play with the dogs. But, yeah, they kind of noticed, and it kind of makes me sad, but I know that this is only a temporary thing until everything gets back to normal because, you know, we're just really stressed out right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Just whatever you do, if they ask you why are you drinking that, never call it a kid tolerator.
Oh, no. Never.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Oh, never.
Okay. All right.
Now you can call it a Scott tolerator.
That's what Dana calls it.
Yeah, you know it is. You know it is. Sam, we'll take one more, and then we'll go to the break.
Let's go to Terry in Richmond.
Hey, Terry. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. Big fan of the show. So glad to talk to you today. So I work at a nuclear power plant. And there's one in Kansas, one in Missouri. I won't tell you which one I work at. But anyway, when we were all the office staff were put on work from home, we were very clearly told that we had to stay what they call fit for duty. So what that means is at any time we can be called in for the emergency response organization.
Yeah.
So you have to obviously be sober for that. And additionally, we have random drug screening. And that did not go away with all of us being sent home. So if I'm sitting at home at 2:00 in the afternoon, I can be called for a random drug screen and I would still have to drive in and give my sample. So
really?
If I was, absolutely. Yep. And if I had been drinking or doing any other kind of recreational drug, it is immediate grounds for dismissal.
Okay. Now you don't want to tell us which one you work at. I know the one in Kansas is called Wolf Creek. I'm not familiar with the one in Missouri. What's it called?
The one in Missouri is called Callaway. It's out by Columbia.
Okay. All right. Huh. And you work at one of the two, but you won't tell us which one, and that's fine.
That's interesting that the drug testing and the alcohol, you could be alcohol tested from home. But I understand
issue. No, Dana, not from home. They have to go in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, if we got called for a random drug screen, we would have to drive in no matter. So obviously we have to stay at home when we're supposed to be working at home. But additionally, we have emergency response organization positions. And if there was any kind of emergency, we would be called in. And you have to declare. If I had been drinking, I would have to declare that I had been drinking, and then I would have to do a breathalyzer.
Which would get you fired on the spot, right?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. It is immediate. It's immediate dismissal.
So you got to mind your P's and Q's.
Absolutely, and I do.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo. Hey, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. Have a great day.
Be safe. Be well. 576-7798. 576-7798.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say brandy, fetch another round.
Oh.
She serves them whiskey and wine.
Oh.
Sailors, alert, alert, alert. Non-coronavirus related story coming.
Oh, that's a big one.
Oh, you got something?
Sam and I both saw this at the same time. You go first.
I was just going to talk about the Casey Zoo's elephant exhibit that opens tomorrow.
Oh, well,
I can't
that's
wait.
Fun.
Yeah. $10 million exhibit.
Not as fun as the breaking news out of California that the entire University of California system just announced it will end the use of SAT and ACT scores in admissions. That is expected to have a major ripple effect, Scott, across the country, with other schools expected to follow suit.
Good.
Thank you, Lori Loughlin.
Good.
On the same day she said she was going to plead guilty.
Well, but Danny, you know this has nothing to do with Lori Loughlin.
Oh, I think it has a little bit to do with
you
that.
You do? Really?
Is it Loughlin?
Listen to this.
Or Loughlin?
It looks like Loughlin. It's pronounced Loughlin.
Oh. These tests are extremely flawed and very unfair, Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis says, a member of the board who voted unanimously, by the way, adding enough is enough.
Okay. Good. I think I've always thought the tests were stupid. That you would judge someone not on the body of their work, but how they did on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in a room full of all their peers where they're timed. I've always thought that was dumb. And I actually, when I was in high school, I did the league minimum just to get by. On my ACT, I think I actually did pretty good. I can't remember my score, but I remember thinking, wow, I'm smarter than I thought.
The move to do a testing only deepened after last year's college admission scandal.
Yeah.
More than 1,200 colleges and universities have opted, have made them optional, according to Fair Test, a group that has pushed to end the testing requirements.
I mean, why wouldn't you judge a kid on the body of their work? And I'm not saying their freshman year or their sophomore year.
Because it's just, there's no reason. It's just the way it's always been done. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Multi-billion dollar industry.
Well, it's about not to be.
That is correct.
If you're the CEO of the ACT or the SAT, you literally have turtle head right now. I'm just being honest. Because you literally just lost your largest client.
You best start saving money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also say it's biased, Scott.
Biased against whom?
The testing is unfair to poor Black and Hispanic students. First of all, for the cost that's associated with the test. And if you're a more affluent student, you can pay again and again and again to keep taking it and make your score better.
I think it's like $50.
You know what you can also pay for is the training or what's that, the tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely expensive to hire a private tutor for those tests. Mm-hmm.
And they do exist. I mean, if you think they don't, they do. You can go out and hire somebody to teach your kid. Now, they don't have the questions, or they may have the questions, but they don't necessarily have the questions your kid's going to be asked.
It's the tricks of the test.
Right.
Well, they have piles of questions from tests of previous years.
Right.
And that's how they teach them.
I'm thrilled. I've always hated the ACT and the SAT. I took them both. I think I took the ACT twice.
So if you take that away, how do you measure kids coming in?
Well, I think you measure them the way you would measure anybody, on the body of their work. You know, you take their – I don't think you take the freshman, sophomore year. But you take the junior and senior year, Okay.
Why don't you take the freshman and sophomore year?
Why would you?
I mean, that's not then the body of the work. That's like the last 2 years of your work.
Well, what if you're coming from a school in a very affluent area that's a well-known, amazing school system where the curriculum is much harder than, say, I don't know, the school across town?
What's your point, Sam?
You could have... Go ahead.
All schools are not created equal. He's right.
Well, I understand. That's why I would only take the last 2 years. I mean, I don't look... When I'm trying to give you a home loan, I don't look at how you paid your bills when you were 18. I look at how you paid your bills when you were 45.
We'll come back to this tomorrow.
Okay. Gladly. We will not come back to Billy Joel tomorrow because he sucks. God, he sucks.
Don't imagine.
God.
You're too familiar.
Dana, you have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Be well. Sam Stevie III is our producer. Dana Wright is my good friend and co-host. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Don't forget Festivus Friday, 5 o'clock. Hope to see you then. Be safe, everybody. Be well.
We never could have come this far. I took the good times. I'll take the bad times. I'll take you just the way you are.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.